2 Samuel chapter 6, and in considering another woman in this series that we've been conducting over the past couple of months, the wicked and wonderful women that we meet with in the Word of God, I want today to consider Michal, the wife of David. And our text is the verse 16, 2 Samuel 6 and verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And then we have these words. And this is David's wife speaking about her husband. And we read, and she despised him in her heart. Someone has said that opposites attract. And no man and woman could appear as greater opposites as David and his wife Michal. They were as different in character and conduct and indeed conversation as any two people could ever be. Where David was humble, Michal was proud. Where David was spiritual, Michal was carnal. Where David was holy, Michal was fleshly. Where David was kind, Michal was cruel. And where David was godly, we have to say that Michal was worldly. Examine the lives of these two people, and it is difficult to find any likeness between them at all. Michal was a princess. She was the youngest daughter of King Saul, king of Israel. Her name means, who is like God? Very honorable meaning for that name. But unfortunately, whenever you look at the life of Michal, there does not appear to be any likeness to God in her life. She was a woman who was more like her scheming father, Saul. And I believe this is emphasized by the way she is described in the various references name, because more often than not she's referred to, as we have in this portion of scripture we have read, she's more often referred to as the daughter of Saul, the wife of David, which would indicate that she was more of akin to Saul and his behavior and his ways than she was to her husband David. She was a woman who liked position and therefore would not lower herself to mix, as it were, with the common people, as David, her husband, did, and as we have just read in this portion of Scripture. And what we have read about her in this 6th chapter of 2 Samuel in many ways seems to sum up her life. It is a commentary upon this particular woman. This woman, Michal, and this portion of Scripture tells us really all we need to know about her. And here in our text, read about Michael's feelings towards her husband David. We're told that as he came into Jerusalem rejoicing that the ark of the Lord was returning to its rightful place, Michael looked out the window and watched this great procession of people singing, rejoicing and dancing at the return of the ark. She looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him. She despised him in her heart. But how did it ever come to this? Did she ever love David? Yes, we're told that she did. Paul has said in Ephesians 5, verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." But there was no reverence or no respect whatsoever shown by Michael towards her husband, namely David. What went wrong? How is it that this portion in 2 Samuel 6 is really a summary of this woman, Michal, a commentary on her life? And looking at Michal, we have an example of what happened when a wife's love dies. And Michal's love died until she found herself in a place where she despised him. And so as we continue this series on the wicked and wonderful women in the Word, let us begin today by first of all considering how Michal loved her husband David. It is hard to believe, after reading these words here in 2 Samuel 6, that Michal ever loved David at all. But there actually was a time when she stated her love for him and for this son of Jesse. But looking at the evidence, we must conclude that first of all, it was a strange love. Read about Michal's falling in love with David in 1 Samuel 18. Would you turn, please? 1 Samuel 18. David has just slain Goliath. And the people of Israel have come out into the streets, and they've been singing and dancing and rejoicing that Goliath has been defeated and the Philistines have been put to flight. And as they sang, we're told in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 7, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And the next verse says, "And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him." And we know that Saul filled with jealousy, from that moment on, sought to murder David, sought to take his life. And indeed he attempted that on a number of occasions. But after David had slain Goliath, Saul thought to reward David by giving him one of his daughters. He first of all thought about giving to David his eldest daughter, Merib. We read about that in verse 17, 1 Samuel 18, and verse 17. But then we read in verse 19, "But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel." Now we read in verse 20, "And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him." But look at verse 21. "And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." Is this not a strange kind of love? It's a strange kind of love because, first of all, of Saul's talk. Whenever Saul heard that his daughter had fallen in love with David, it pleased him. He gave that union his blessing, but it wasn't for any good reason. Because he saw that Michal could become a snare to David. And that David, or the Philistines, could be used to slay David. Saul hoped that by giving David his daughter Michal, that she would assist him in causing David's death at the hands of the Philistines. And David was to kill David, or Saul asked David to kill 100 Philistines, because David says that he would not take his daughter for nothing. And so Saul says, well, go out and kill 100 Philistines. Of course, the plan was that instead of David killing 100 Philistines, that the Philistines would kill David. That was the plan. Saul supposed that David would fall at the sword of the Philistines. So the fact that his daughter Michal loved David certainly pleased Saul. And so he gave him his daughter. It was against this backdrop that Michal became David's wife. Strange love indeed, is it not? That she was going to be used to bring about the death of the person she was to marry. Strange love. This is the backdrop. A backdrop of hatred and jealousy and scheming on the part of Saul, and of the love on the part of his daughter. Strange love indeed. This was how it all started. And we need to look at the background to understand what we have in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Not only did she fall, or was it a strange love, because of Saul's talk, but also because of David's triumph. It appears that Michal had become deeply impressed by the young man, by David, who had gone out and killed Goliath when there wasn't another man in all of Israel who would face Goliath. But David went out in the name of the Lord of Israel. And every child goes to Sabbath school knows the story of how David slew Goliath. And it appears that Michal got caught up, as it were, in the euphoria surrounding this great victory. Look there at 1 Samuel 18 again. And we have read in the verse 7. Verse 6 tells us, "And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with timbrets, with joy, and with instruments of music." Notice, it's all the women of the land. "And the women," verse 7, "answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Look at verse 16 of the same chapter. "But all Israel and Judah loved David." So they all fell in love with David. All the women of the land with David. The Philistine had held Israel to ransom for so long, and there wasn't a man brave enough to go out and face Goliath until David, the son of Jesse, a mere lad of 17 years of age. And all the women fell in love with David. And then we read in verse 20, "And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David." And she loved him just with all the other women of Israel. It appears that she was caught up in the excitement and the euphoria and was so impressed by this young lad. He had slain Goliath. And we have to ask the question, did she love him because of who he really was? Did she love the person? Or did she just love him because of what he did? Just like all the other women in Israel. Some fall in love with a person's position. And I believe that that could be applied to Michal as well. There was a time when she left him. And then when David was crowned king, she came back to him again. She liked the position. Some fall in love with a person's position and with power and with their possessions, but not with the person themselves. And in reading through the verses that deal with Michal, and certainly in the light of the words of our text, where she despised him, I conclude that Michal never really loved him as a person. Hers was a strange kind of love. Appears that Michal had a love for David, but more for what he did. He slew the Philistine. It was not only a strange love, but it was also a shared love. Michal was now David's wife. And when Saul sent his assassins to kill David, she came to his aid. She helped to spare his life. Look at 1 Samuel 19. And we read in verse 11, "Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning." To watch and to slay. "And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. It's a strange kind of way to warn David, was it not? Michael said to David, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. I don't know about you, but there doesn't seem to be any kind of love in those words. It's up to you, David. Do whatever you like. But if you don't save yourself tonight, you'll be slain in the morning. It's up to you. Verse 12, so Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. But then she went a step further. Look at verse 13. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. Where did she get the image from? The word image is the word teraphim. And the word teraphim means a household image. That's an image that stood there in the house. This must have been quite a sizable image. When she was able to lay it in the bed in an attempt to fool Saul's messengers. So it must have been an image the size of a man. This was Michael's other love. It was the image. She was an idolater. She worshipped this teraphim, or this idol. Now, we don't believe for one moment that David was an idolater, that he wanted any part of the image, because we are told that when Saul knew David, it says, and Saul knew that the Lord was with David. The Lord would not have been with David if he was a worshipper of an idol. But there is never any mention made of how Michal stood with the Lord. You never read of Michal and how she stood with the Lord. But we do read that she had an image. And this image was a household god. Something that stood in the house. David loved the Lord. Michal had a strange kind of love for David. But from what we gather from these verses, Michal shared her love with this idol. This image, this household god that stood in her home. You know, whenever you think of it, when you look at these references and the background to her love for David, you begin to get a clearer picture, and you begin to come to understand in a better way what we read about her in 2 Samuel 6. We begin to understand a little clearer why Michal despised David. And why her love for David died. And seemed to have died very quickly. Because she had a strange kind of love for David. And she had a shared love for David. David didn't have all of her love. She had a love for an idol. And Paul again, in Ephesians 5, where he speaks about that relationship between husband and wife as a picture of the relationship of Christ and His church. In Ephesians 5 and verse 22, Paul says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And all that we read about Michal, we do not find that she submitted herself unto her own husband, because her love was shared with an idol. And how easy it is for idols to come between us and God, and idols to become come between husband and wife. Husbands and wives can be taken up with other things, and they become an idol in their lives to the neglect of their husband or the neglect of their wife. And it becomes a household god. Very soon, the love can die. The love died here. For Michal, there was no Lord. In her life, only an idol. For Michal, she did not submit herself unto her husband fully and completely and entirely. There was an idol standing in the way. You read in Song of Solomon, "Love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it." And I'm afraid the idol in Michal's life quenched any love she had for David, until she came to a point in her life that she despised him. That's a strong word. And so it was a strange love. It was a shared love. She shared it with an idol in the home. And it was a shallow love. We come now to something that we may have, as it were, suspected all along. That Michal's love for David did not run very deep. For look at what Michal said about David to her father. "Whenever Saul sent assassins as messengers to fetch David that he might slay him." It's really unbelievable what Michal said about David. He said it was a strange love. Well, here it comes to the surface. For we read in verse 17, 1 Samuel 19, verse 17. "And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and send away mine enemy, and he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul." This is what she said about David. "And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" Of course, David never said anything of the kind. In other words, Michal said to her father, "But I tried to hold on to David. But he said to me, let me go. If you don't let me go, I'll kill you. That's what she said about her husband. That's what she said about the one whom we just read in the chapter before that she loved. And here she says to her father, but he threatened me. He threatened to kill me. He threatened to slay me. And it was all a lie. Now you would have thought if she really loved her husband, she would have come to the defense of her husband. She would have stood alongside her husband. She would have said to her father, yes, I helped him escape because I loved him. I didn't want any harm to come to him, but no. She said, I tried to hold on to him, but he threatened to kill me if I wouldn't let him go. It was all a lie. And she was the one who proposed the plan to David. You better escape tonight, or you'll die in the morning. And here she comes and says to Saul, he threatened to kill me. I had to let him go. At a time of crisis in any home, at a time of crisis in the home where there's a mother and father, a husband and wife, if there's love in that home, husband and wife will come together. They'll be drawn nearer to one another and closer to one another. But here you have Michal, and she seeks to distance himself from her husband. Can we say this was true love? I don't think so. Can we not see here that Michal's love for David was already on the wane? Can we not see that just how shallow her love really was for David? Can we not see here that there wasn't much to this love? And she had to lie and say that David had threatened to kill her. Strange love, is it not? Press on quickly. And we see here, not only Michal, how she loved her husband. But we come now to consider Michal and how she loathed her husband. This was perhaps one of the happiest days of David's life, the day that the ark returned home. You recall how the Philistines had taken possession of the ark of the covenant, the ark of the Lord. Israel went out and faced the Philistines without consulting Samuel, without consulting the Lord. And they said, oh, we've got the ark of the Lord with us. The ark of the Lord will ensure our victory. Use it as a kind of a good luck charm. The ark may have been with them, but the Lord wasn't with them. And the Philistines slew many thousand Israelites and captured the ark. And it had been in the possession of the Philistines for many years. And Israel mourned the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Lord, because it was the symbol of God's presence. It was the symbol of God's presence. The Lord abode in the pillar of fire and the cloudy pillar above the Ark. And the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and the tabernacle was in the center of the camp. So the ark was a symbol of God's presence. And so here's David and he's rejoicing. The ark's coming home. And for 3 months it had been left in the house of Obed-Edom. And we read there in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. David was bringing the ark home, and he was happy, and he was glad about it. One of the happiest days of David's life. The ark was blessed, was in the house of Obed-Edom, and while it was there, God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And upon hearing of God's blessing in Obed-Edom's home, David was prompted to bring the ark home, because David was really saying, I want God's blessing too. You gather that from the verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the ark, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. So he went. He was prompted to fetch the ark out of the house of Obed-Edom because David wanted the Lord's blessing to you. And there you have his desire. His desire for the blessing of God upon his city and upon his house. The blessing that had come upon the house of Obed-Edom, he wanted that blessing in his home too. But Michal did not share her husband's desire for the Lord's blessing upon her home. She did not share her husband's enthusiasm for the things of God. She did not share her husband's desire for the blessing of God. And so when she saw David looking out of the window and saw David coming into the city, dancing and rejoicing, exuberant with excitement and thanksgiving to God, she looked out of her window and she saw her husband dancing, and it says she despised him. This high and lofty individual, this pompous individual, this proud individual, how could the king of Israel stoop so low to walk through the streets dancing and rejoicing in this fashion? Note what it says in our text. She despised him in her heart. We never once read that Michal loved David with all of her heart. But now we read that she despised him in her heart. This woman was really not with David at all. David wanted God's blessing. David wanted God's best for his house and his home and his family. And Michal was far removed from that desire. When the others in the city joined in with David, where is she? She's hiding in the house, looking out of the window, distancing herself. Wouldn't dare be seen with David. And the others who danced that day. I'm sure we have all met our Michaels in our lifetime. Those who have no burden really for God's blessing upon their own souls. or no desire for God's blessing upon their homes. Whenever others are out and out for God. Such individuals, such Michaels of this present day would have difficulty understanding Jacob. They would find it hard to understand Jacob, how Jacob spent the night wrestling and crying to God and saying, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. People who have no desire for God's blessing in their lives would find it hard to understand how a man like Jacob could spend the whole night praying for God's blessing. And Jabez, the same modern day Michaels would find it difficult to wonder why Jabez prayed the way he did. For we read Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve thee. It was Jabez's burden. It was Jacob's burden. It was David's burden, but Michael didn't have that burden. And wonder why the love died. She wasn't enthusiastic about the things of God at all. Said she was different from David. She loathed David. She loathed him because of his desire for the Lord's blessing. She loathed David because of his dancing. Now this has nothing whatsoever to do with the dancing that goes on in clubs and bars and dens of iniquity. Nothing whatsoever to do with that. That's sensual, it's carnal, it's ungodly, it's unclean. David was dancing for joy. And look at what it says in the verse 16. And she saw the King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. It was done before the Lord. And she couldn't understand this. That a king would behave in this way. She didn't share his enthusiasm, his excitement for the things of God. Now, there's many like that today. Never get excited about the things of God at all. Never get excited about religion. Never get excited about being a Christian. Billy Bray. You may have heard of Billy Bray. He was a preacher many years ago in England before the Lord saved him. He worked in the Cornwall in the south of England. Bray was a hard drinker. Lived a hard life until one day the Lord saved him. And Billy Bray was noted for his exuberant joy and happiness in the Lord. He was known for that. Somebody got tired of him showing such happiness and joy and singing and shouting hallelujah. They threatened to put him into a barrel one day, put a lid on it. Billy Bray says, well, let them do that. I'll still shout hallelujah out through the bunghole. He wasn't going to be silenced. But Billy Bray said after he got saved, they said I was a madman. But they meant I was a glad man. And glory be to God, I have been glad ever since. And after his conversion, he said, I was very happy in my work. Remember, he was a miner. I was very happy in my work and could leap and dance for joy underground as well as on the surface. Didn't matter where he was. Billy Bray rejoiced in the Lord and everybody saw it. David's joy and excitement about the things of God was never shared by Michal. Never. And when she saw her husband so happy and joyful and dancing in the street because the ark was coming home, she despised him. She despised him. She despised him also because of his devotion. Perhaps if David had engaged in a dance that was more sensual and fleshly, she would not have been as critical of her husband as she was. But we read Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. That was the difference. David was devoted to his Lord, and all that he did, including not only his singing and his rejoicing and his dancing in the street, but also his sacrifices, the offering up of the sacrifices, we're told it was all done before the Lord, verse 17, emphasizing his devotion. Michal despised her husband because he was so devoted to the Lord. You can see just how far removed Michal was from David and his love for the Lord. And she saw her husband and his devotion. She despised him. Love died. Love died a long time ago. Finally, and very, very briefly, we see how Michal lectured her husband. She lectured him. No respect for him. And we read in verse 20, 2 Samuel 6, then David returned to bless his household. And there's David, you get the picture. David returns home and he's all excited, he's happy, he's rejoicing, the ark is back, he's already blessed the people, he's coming home excited to bless his household. And Michal throws cold water on the whole thing. Real killjoy was Michal. Because then David, we read, then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, there's it again, you see, the daughter of Saul, it's not the wife of David. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, and one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered of himself. What a lecture. Notice her sarcasm. She was sarcastic. For she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today. She's being sarcastic. And somebody said, sarcasm is the lowest form of wit. Well, here's the lowest form of wit here in the person of Michal. How glorious was the king today. Instead of showing her support, she was sarcastic. Instead of showing some sympathy, she was sarcastic. Instead of singing with David, she was sarcastic. Love is dead. Her love had died. Next, you notice her scorn. She poured scorn upon her husband that day, accusing him of making a fool of himself. You know, reading those words there, you had almost the thought that David danced naked in the streets. You would. he behaved, she said, shamelessly. We'll not take time to look it up, but you can turn it up whenever you get home. 1 Chronicles 15. You have a record of this incident. And you'll find that David was properly and indeed appropriately addressed. Because of what he was doing, and it was done before the Lord. And look at verse 14 of 2 Samuel 6. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with the linen he fought. The garment that the priests wore when they went in before the Lord. And the garment that others wore, the likes of David and Samuel. He was appropriately dressed. She said that he behaved shamelessly. No respect. No respect for her husband whatsoever. She poured scorn upon him. She was sarcastic toward him. Sarah called Abraham, sir, showing that she respected him. Michael had no respect at all. Love was dead. And then notice the sentence. So much more we'd like to say, but come to the last verse. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Isn't that interesting? She didn't want the blessing of the Lord upon her home. She didn't share David's desire for God's blessing. And she got what she wanted. She missed out with God. And she didn't receive any of the blessing. God blessed David with many children. But Michal had none. That's what she wanted, of course. She didn't want the Lord's blessing. And the man whom she had married, who desired the Lord's blessing, she despised him. For that very reason. Because he wanted the Lord's blessing. Not really one of the wonderful women of the word. More one of the wicked women of the word. Let us all learn from this woman's life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God and gracious Father, we praise Thee again for the Word. Lord, at times a difficult Word to preach. Yet it is Thy Word. Lord, we'd rather have preached more on David and his love for the Lord and his joy. And his desire for God's blessing than on Michal. He never showed any love for the Lord or any desire. And indeed reaped the fruits of her hardness. And reaped the fruits of her despising. Even treating her husband with the utmost contempt. Oh God. Fill each one of us who know Thee with the fruit of the Spirit. Write Thy holy word, Lord, upon our hearts today.